Right. Good morning. It is a joy to be with you this morning. My name is Ben Kendra. I'm the campus pastor here at the Brighton Heights campus. We are one church in four locations, so I'd like to welcome any visitors that we have with us this morning. It's a joy to be with you. I hope you were blessed. It was amazing worship. It's always great to have the energy of the little ones upstairs. They were into it, got me fired up, so I hope you're fired up as well. You made it through the marathon traffic, I see. You did a good job getting here, so some people, you're like, I barely got here. Like, that's, well, I'm glad you're here. So seriously, we are in our second week of our new sermon series called Fresh Start. And the whole idea is to, right after Easter, we're just going to have this fresh start about of just where we are beginning our walk with Christ and walk with in our relationship with Christ, and what that looks like. What does it mean to have a fresh start? And so today we're going to talk about a fresh start. When we think about the church, the big church, Big C, and then it also applies to Bridge City Church, and then, of course, the Brighton Heights campus. But all right, we all have preconceived notions or ideas about what the church is, and maybe the way you grew up, or maybe you were Catholic, denomination like I did, or you're unchurched. You didn't grow up in any church at all. But we all bring in with us this morning to the sanctuary auditorium a preconceived notion of what church is like, or what church is, or could be, or should be. When I grew up, I went to a Christian Missionary Alliance, CMA. Has anyone ever heard of that denomination? A few of you. Okay, good. So when I grew up in that church, I didn't really come into a relationship with Jesus until I was in high school. So when I was a kid, my preconceived notion was really bad music of the church. They would bring puppets up, and I'm like, what is the connection between the puppets? What's this all about? What's puppets? Flannel graph, that was way back in the 80s and the 90s. That was like the most, yeah, it was a lot. So I'm like, what is, and then there would be special music. Do you guys remember special music? You can do that if you want, special music. There was a lady that had a zither that she played, and I was like, what is that? I didn't even know what a zither was. I had to go look it up. So I brought in these preconceived notions of to be a Christian meant to listen to bad music. And I was like, I don't want any part of that. And the preacher would just go on and on. And so I brought that in. And then I realized, like, as I grew in my relationship with Jesus, I got to see the church in a different light. I got to see the church as a beautiful thing. I got to see, as Pastor Keith Tusey calls it, the church is the great outpost of heaven, right? Where we get to do ministry and life together. I see the church now as what I've given. I've given my life to Jesus, and I have received a call to go into ministry. But I also am a church person. I love the church. I love the staff that I get to work with and serve with. I love the people here at this church. I love the church, and the church means the world to me. And I hope it does to you as well. And I realize this in a room this size, that each one of us has brought in a preconceived notion of what the church, Big C, big church, should be, or could be, or maybe was in your past. But here's the beautiful thing, what it could be when we lean in and have this fresh start and this fresh perspective of what God has originally intended the church to be. There's nothing more beautiful on the earth when the church is the church and functioning as the church and loving as the church. It's a beautiful thing. And so I just want to encourage you, whatever preconceived notion you have this morning about the church, Big C, big church, let's examine those together. We're going to look at our big idea. When I say big idea, maybe you're new here. What's the big idea? What's that all about? Well, the big idea is what we want you to remember and take away. So when I talk about the big idea, that's where we're going today, okay? So we're going to think about what it means for us to have a fresh start, a fresh take of what it means to be the church. That's an exciting thing for me. We're coming off Baptism Sunday. We're coming off Easter on Resurrection Sunday. It's an amazing time. So I just want to encourage you all, and I'm going to pray right now as we begin. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that maybe some of us are coming into this room this morning, that we need hope. And Lord, as we took communion, as we partook in those elements together, and we remember what you did on the cross, Lord, may we find our hope in you, in a relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for the gift that you give us in the church. Lord, I thank you for the people in this church particularly. I thank you for the people that have been an encouragement to me and my family. So Father, would you just, as your Holy Spirit is already here, would you just fall fresh upon us and be with us in these next few moments? In Jesus' name I pray, Amen. Isaiah chapter 43. This is kind of our launch verse where we started last week. And where we're talking about God wants to do a new thing. And in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19, it says this. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Say new thing.
New thing.
Awesome. Now it shall spring forth. Do you not know? Do you not know? That's a good question. What a great question that is. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And so God is doing this new thing. And so when it comes to our lives, when it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to our preconceived notions, God is doing a new thing. He wants us to kind of move away from those things that maybe we had preconceived in the past or the way it was always done. And he wants us to cling to what he's doing now, what Scripture says, what the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us to. And so here's the thing, no matter what's in your past, the new thing is happening. No matter what you've done in your past or what, like those puppets are no longer there in my preconceived notion of what the church is. God has moved on, and right? And those had a place in time, and I'm not downing that. If you did puppet ministry, I'm not trying to offend you, right? But there's new methods and there's new ways and there's always these new songs, and God is on the move. And I want to be part of that as the Holy Spirit moves forward. So he is on the move. And so there's this like blank slate that he calls us to as believers, that he is on the move. He calls us to have this blank slate. Does that mean just kind of like forget everything completely? No, because those things shaped us. Those things are part of our past. Those things are important, but we're not supposed to cling to them. We're supposed to move forward in our faith with Christ. And part of that vehicle is moving forward is the church. And so as the tension with that, and I recognize this, that each one of us wrestles with that. What does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to be the church at Bridge City Church or Brighton Heights Campus? What does that mean? What does that look like? There's hardly any parking here. What is that about, right? But here you make a way each week to make it happen. It's beautiful, right? And so the tension is that the past and the preconceived ideas can cloud our future in the way we move forward, right? And God says, I want you to learn from those things. Let them shape you. Don't camp out there. Don't stay there, but move forward. You know, don't quench the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you forward as we serve together in the church. Paul said this to the letter in the Philippians church. He said this to the church to Philippi. And he says this in Philippians 1:6. He's speaking to God's holy people. He's speaking to the church. He says this, I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue until it is finally finished on the day on Christ Jesus returns. And so, again, God is doing this new thing, as Isaiah said. And then fast forward to the New Testament, we see that Paul speaks of what God is going to complete and finish until Christ returns. So here's the great thing. Here's the good news, that Jesus is coming back. And we don't know when. We don't know the time. Don't buy into any of those, you know, YouTube videos or anything else like that. He didn't even know, right? But we need to prepare ourselves and look forward and worship God and let the Holy Spirit move upon us. And so it's important to have that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking forward to as the church. Many people are going to new church. They come into a new church, and unfortunately, they take old church with us, right? They take their old ways. I could bring in my stuff from when I was at the CMA back in the day as a young man, and I could have held on to that. We must have puppet ministry here. And you're like, I'm out. See ya. Right? But we let go. And so we want to unlearn some of those things, you know, some of those things that aren't all necessarily bad, but some of those things are like, they're not taking us anywhere. And so God is saying, move forward in this. I'm doing a new thing, right? I'm not finished with you yet. And so we have to unlearn those past things, let him shape us, but unlearn some of those things. But the church, no matter what church you go to, no matter what church in the United States or around the world, you're going to see a church that has no problems in and of itself. But then people show up. And as people show up, it creates problems. And church creates problems. When I show up, it creates problems. When you show up, it creates problems, right? And it can get messy. But that's the beautiful thing about the church. That's the beautiful vehicle that Christ wants us to be part of is this church. So are you willing this morning? Here's my challenge. Are you willing to reset, to reboot, to relearn, to have a refreshed perspective on what the church really is? Because my hope and prayer as you leave is that you see the church as this beautiful thing, this family, this vehicle that's announcing the good news to the world. Right? That's my hope and my hope and prayer for you this morning. Our big idea, this is where we're going, this is what I want you to remember, is this: a fresh start with the church. A fresh start with the church will include the perspective that being together, say together, so the church is, the main thing is being together, is this: that God has a plan for us. God has a plan for the church, the big church. He has a plan for Brighton Heights. He has a plan for the church in America, the church in Liberia, and around the world. God has a plan. That together, it's messy. It's messy. I mean, maybe some of you have been at church long enough where you know doing life together, it gets messy, doesn't it? Filling out planning center can be messy, can it? I'm going to be there, but I'm not going to be there, right? I'm going to be here, but I got sick. It just gets messy, right? And then there's the other thing is this. It's a choice. That being the church together is a choice. That we have a church, we have a charge to us given to the church, that we have a choice. That when we show up here on a Sunday, that we're not going to sit there like consumers, as if we're in the movie theater, consuming all of the beautiful music and hopefully the Word of God, right? And our, you know, but you're going to actually have a choice that I'm going to participate, that I'm going to serve, I'm going to give of myself, I'm going to look into the interests of others, I'm going to move from selfishness to selflessness, right? I'm going to be open to what the Holy Spirit has to me, and so that's my hope and prayer, is that it's a choice. We can either choose to be the church, or we can choose to reject the church. What I love about that, that it requires that fresh start about the church, that a pastor, author, podcaster, Gerald Brooks, he's coming in August. I encourage you to be there. But he speaks of the church like this. He kind of gives three different like perspectives of how people view the church, and I agree with him. We look at the church or the models or a mindset. Gerald Brooks says that we can view the big church, big C church, as a type of schooling, which I believe that we're also called to be lifelong students of God's word in the Holy Spirit, right? I believe that's part of it. But he says some people only see the church as a type of school. It becomes so heady, so heavenly minded, it becomes no earthly good, right? He says this, that the church can function as a consumer mentality, as a movie, like a movie theater. I'm going to sit there and watch and be entertained. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever seen that? People kind of going through the motions. That's not what God wants for us. And then the other thing Gerald Brooks says, it's like a living room. That the only thing when I show up to church, I want to make sure I'm comfortable. I have my coffee, right? And it's just going to be comfortable like in the living room. That's important. I'm not downplaying that. It's important. All those things, those seats you're sitting on, they're pretty nice, aren't they? Right, the temperature in the room may be too cold for some of you. Some of you are like, it's cold. I'm sweating up here, okay? But this comfortableness, right, this living room, I think Gerald Brooks has a point. Like, we have this idea that it's either a classroom, a movie theater, or a living room. And it has to be kind of like all of that stuff together, right? But it has to be more driven, I believe, by the Word of God, worshiping, and letting the Holy Spirit move among us. That's what's important. So that's what he says. And so when we have these mindsets, these preconceived notions, we're going to take them and say, I'm going to drop these on the just right there, and I'm going to let God kind of teach me. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit move and teach me about what he wants for my life. This mindset, dropping those mindsets and having a different, fresh perspective on God's church, the church of Jesus Christ. What I love is that there's this idea, and I believe it's like, I've been to Jerusalem. I had a trip in 2005, and it's amazing to me to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and the, you know, the disciples and sometimes Paul, and to see what all of they went through and to watch what they endured and walking the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering that Jesus walked on, what they endured for us to just be sitting here this morning. It's mind-boggling. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so it does show me that God has a plan. Even through all of the things that we go through, right? The messiness and the choice to be here or not to be here. The choice to pick up a fence or not to pick up a fence. The choice to be healthy or to just kind of be stuck, right? And so that's the beautiful thing about the church, that it invites us to come and be more like Christ, to die to ourselves. And that's my hope and prayer for you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25 says this. let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. How many of you know that God keeps his promises? He does. In verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. I'm going to push pause there. This and huddle right before we got out, you know, came here together. I encouraged my huddle people that were there, those serving, those leaders that were there. And I said, I received this past week a letter of encouragement. And I said, it blessed me. I said, we should, as the church, we should be encouraging one another and what we're doing. And so I see the group me's that we're all part of. There's prayer happening. There are prayer for one another. There's meal trains. There's all kinds of encouragements happening. Things happening outside these walls. That's what the church does. All right, I'm going to push back in here. Verse 25. Verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Verse 25. Let us not neglect, or some translations say give up, meeting together. So some people do. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so there's, since the beginning of the church, there's always been this anticipation that Jesus is coming back. So let us encourage one another. Whatever we're going through, whatever difficulties, whatever high points we're going through, let's encourage one another. That's what the church does. And so we're supposed to, in the letter of Hebrews, that we're supposed to trust in that. And not give up meeting together. Not give up meeting together. The attendance of any given church, if you're a pastor, have been in the church at any point, there's ebbs and flows with attendance. Life happens, I get that, right? But here's the thing, we shouldn't just give up meeting together. We should commit to one another. More importantly, we're going to commit to Christ because of what he did on the cross. What we just took today, that communion, that was a reminder of why we're committing to one another. And so there's that commitment, I believe, that we're called to. And so as we don't give up, keep coming together, keep doing life together, as Christians say a lot, life together. How many of you have ever heard that being said? It's a lot. What that means is being the church. You know, celebrating the husband baptizing the wife last week. That was beautiful. The Babix, that was beautiful to see, right? And so the church being the church is encouraging one another. And so I want to encourage you to lean in. Be the encouragement that people need within this building, that even with the people that aren't here, be an encouragement to them. That's what the church does. And so our big idea that we're supposed to be together as the church, and so together is God's plan. It's always been his plan. He wants the people to come together. All the way back to Genesis, right? What did he say about Adam? Not good for this guy to be by himself. Amen. Thank God he had a plan. But he has this accountability, this idea and this important concept for the church to have accountability with one another, to keep each other sharp, to push each other to more like Jesus in a loving, kind way. Sometimes you have to speak a tough word, but it's supposed to have accountability in our pursuit of God. Are you pursuing God with somebody here at this church? Do you have accountability in your life? That's why the church exists. Christianity, I love this idea. Christianity is the ultimate group project. Do you remember group projects? High school, college, whatever. How many of you have ever been in a group project? Just raise your hand for me. Some of you are not raising your hand. Okay. Group project is this. In science class, you're supposed to do this research project. For me, I'm going to use the example of political science class in college. And you have to prepare an argument where you're debating another team of three or four students. And you're supposed to work together. Together is the key word, right? But sometimes in group projects, what happens? They're like, you're kind of like anxious, like, am I going to be the person doing all the work and the research? And they just kind of show up whenever they want and they get credit for it. I have been, unfortunately, I've been the guy that mostly does all the work, right? I remember in Geneva College, we had poli sci class, political science, and there was a group of three of us. And we're going to debate another group. Well, the other group got sick and I had to debate the actual professor. And my other two teammates weren't ready. So I had to debate against this political side. In order to graduate from Geneva, you have to go through poli sci. It's like the gateway, you know. So I was like nervous, I was sweaty, I was all that stuff. But the idea was like I wanted to be together with these guys. I wanted them to do their work, but I ended up pulling my weight and their weight, and it becomes exhausting. Have you ever felt like that about the church? that no, you haven't. Praise the Lord. I love that. That's great. But here's the thing. That's the answer. Like, we don't want it to be like that. We want the church to be together. And I think that's God's plan for us, to be this group project, doing life together, doing all these different things together, you know, as this beautiful worship team plays together, right? Aaron by himself could do a great job, but he sounds a lot better that he's accompanied by all the different instruments and vocalists. So God's plan for us as the church is together. That's his plan. How about this? He also, when we're together, there's a messiness that happens. There's a messiness. How many know there's a messiness in church? Okay. There was a real strong affirmation there. I like that. That was good. So it's not easy sometimes to be in the church. Sometimes there's hurts. Sometimes there's offenses. Sometimes there's just like things that like, what just happened? What just happened? I remember doing a wedding sometimes, and it was at Conneaut Lake. I told Jake and Kaylee this story, and they wanted to, they were going to the church for a while, and they wanted me to perform the actual wedding ceremony, and I said, sure. And they said, well, instead of wedding rings, we want to have samurai swords. And I'm like, the token of a relationship is not a samurai sword. It's this. So it gets messy sometimes, right? And so I have pictures. Come see me. But the church, sometimes with people, they have ideas and preconceived notions, but there's ways and order that the Bible has, right, and church culture has. Like, there's a way, but sometimes it gets messy for us. I know that's kind of a silly example, but working with people, it just gets messy, and it often leads this. When there's messiness, it will breed isolation, and isolation breeds destruction, and it breeds people from going outside the church, and that's not what we want, right? Sometimes there's accountability, but then with that messiness, we're called to be the church, right? The enemy doesn't mind if we go to church. You've probably heard Pastor Rick say this. The enemy doesn't mind if we go to church as long as we don't become the church. I love that. And so we can fight amongst each other. We can let the messiness keep us from moving forward. But God's plan for the church is to move forward even amongst the messiness. And so our part to play is to forgive, to love, to work things out, to do life, to bring meals, to serve, to give. All of these things, it takes all of us to be the church, even in the messiness. Amen? So I don't know what you're going through right now, but here's the thing. The church is messy, and I encourage you, whatever past hurts you have, I pray that you wouldn't let those define you or hold you back from anything that God has for you. There's a blessing that God wants to give to you. Not everything that has happened, and I'm sorry those things happened to you. I really am. I've been through church hurts myself. I really have. But my hope and prayer is that you don't see the hurt, but you see the one that gave his life to the cross and shed his blood. That's who we're to keep our eye on. People are going to let you down. Pastors are going to let you down. I'm going to say this. I'm going to let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. And so that's where the messiness comes in. We need to look to Christ in the face of all these different things. What would Christ do in this situation? So to be the church, we've got to deal with the messiness in a Christ-like way. Amen? That's what we're called to do. You can tell, here's the thing, that you can tell you're healed when you're willing to be hurt again. I like that. That you're healed. How many of you have ever been hurt? Just raise your hand. Don't point to anybody that they did it, but just, okay. There's a lot of people that have church hurt. But when you're willing to move forward and be hurt again, that shows a sign of health. It does. Right? So if I every time that I was hurt or someone hurt my feelings or said, no, your sermon was this, whatever, you look nervous. No. Like I would just sit there and Charlie Brown walk off the platform, and that's not like, you've got to be able to let that go. You've got to be able to move forward. The church is a church, it's an organization that moves forward in messiness and hurts, right? And all those things. That's what we're called to do. And so that's the part of it. That's the beautiful thing, that we're called to something that's bigger than ourselves. The church has to have purpose within that messiness. There was a group of five individuals this morning that ran in the Pittsburgh Marathon as a relay team. My son was one of them. It was Doug and Joel and Sly and Paul. And they ran with a purpose. The idea was to complete the race without dying, right? But the idea was to run with purpose. They had shirts that said Bridge City Cross Country. We don't have a cross country team. We don't. But we have a purpose to be the church. And so they ran as a relay team that had purpose. It was a beautiful thing. I got to see some text messages and things like that. I wasn't there. But that's what it means, is that there was this unity, even in the messiness of the rain and the muck and all the stuff that's out in Pittsburgh, right? They ran through that together. There was a purpose. That's what the church, what a beautiful image of the church. That even when we've been hurt, we've had past things done to us, or even right now, those things, like, that should not define you. You need to look to Christ. We need to handle them in an appropriate way. I'm not saying there's an order to do that, but we need to move forward with oneness and unity. Unity matters to God. Unity matters to God, and it's important for us as the church to uphold that. And so when we pick up offenses, when we're causing trouble, or we're whatever it is, that's not what God has for you. It doesn't have for the church, but he wants you to move forward together in unity. That's what the messiness is, and having a one purpose, seeing the church is bigger than ourselves. That's what God wants for us here at Brighton Heights. That's what he wants for us at Bridge City Church, is to move forward. And then the third one is this, that being together is a choice, is a choice. You could be anywhere on a Sunday morning, but you chose to be here. I love that. I'm so thankful you're here. I'm honored that you're here. I'm honored to worship with you. But there's a choice. In Hebrews 10:25, it says this, let us not neglect our meeting together. And some people are in the habit of doing, but be encouraged. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return draws near. And so I think it's important for us as we have this choice that Jesus is coming back. We're not promised tomorrow, so we have to be ready. We have to stay ready. We have to move forward as the church. And I love that call to the church that we're called here in Hebrews 10:25. What I love about Bridge City Church, if you're new here, you haven't heard about this, there's a thing called Growth Track, and it helps people move forward together as a church. And Growth Track is a way that we take our next steps and we grow, and there's different points of discipleship that we go out. I want to encourage you to go to Growth Track coming up on May 18th at our North Braddock campus. It's earlier in the day. To help you, but it's from 3 to 6, but it's a way for us, it's a choice. Is there tunnels and bridges and traffic? Yes. Can you do it? Yes. You can get through there, right? I've been driving all over this city for the last 3 years. I've explored, and if I can do it, you can do it, right? But it's a choice. You have to decide, do you want to be the church, or you just want to talk about church? How about this? 2 Corinthians 5:16-17. Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, and he's saying this about this choice of being together as the church. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, or another translation is a new creation. You are a new person. Because of Christ, you are a new creation because of Christ. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And so that fresh perspective is as Paul was speaking about it to the church in Corinth and saying, this is what the church looks like. And this is what one who is following Jesus will do. This is the mark of maturity. That this is a choice that I'm going to continue to forget about the ways I used to live. The way I talked. The way I lived. The people I carried myself around. Who I hung out with. And now I'm choosing Christ. I'm choosing, like, I'm not saying totally give up on them, but if they're causing you to be further away from Jesus, there's an evaluation that needs to happen. So we move from human points of view to spiritual points of view. As the church, at one point in my life, I grew up in the church. I have this false, weird kind of, idea of what the church was and its music. But then once I understood who Jesus was and who I was, my perspective changed. I was like, I'm going to give my life to that. I want to tell people about Jesus. Not everybody's going to be a pastor, but everybody is called to do something. Amen? And so there's fresh perspective. What is it for you? How can you be the church? What choices are you making to be the church? To be the best church that we can be. Not for my sake or this building's sake, but for Christ, for God, for the Holy Spirit, for the sake of the gospel. What choice are you making to be that church with a fresh start? How about this? He goes on to say in verse 18 and 19, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. He gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. And so we think about this message of reconciliation. Because of the sin problem, the human condition in Genesis 3, there's a problem. And God's remedy is Jesus Christ. And we feel that in our relationships. We feel that in our world. We feel that in our bodies even, right? And so Jesus is reconciling us to make us in right standing and have a relationship with God. He's making a way for us. What is the thing called church? What do we do here? So here's the thing. Things we need to know about Jesus' church. Number one, God committed building his church. God has committed to building his church. It's a continuation. It started way back in the Middle East and in around Jerusalem in those times, you know, Acts chapter 2. And we see in Matthew 16, God is committed to building the church, the big church. He's coming back for his church. Another word that we call the church is the bride of Christ. He's coming back for his bride. And so he sees that about his church. How about this? The devil hates the church. How many of you know that? The devil hates the church. And so he's going to try to put the church in a bad standing in the view, in the public relations standpoint, if you will, through the world. And so as the devil hates the church, he's going to have church look kind of weird and crazy and irrelevant and kind of goofy, right? And so he hates the church. He doesn't mind if we go to church, but he minds if we become the church, right? That's what he's worried about. And so all we have to do is just sit there and consume, and the devil is happy. All we got to do is just sit there and do nothing, and the devil is happy. But when we become the church, when we serve, and we're loving each other, we're loving the world, we're showing people and telling people about Jesus, that's what the devil hates. He hates that. How about this? Christians need the church. How many of you believe that? Christians need the church. I believe that. The Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 4. For maturity and growth to happen, the church is that vehicle that God has used. He's using that. He's using God's word. He's using God's people to help each other move toward maturity and accountability and to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. The world is waiting for the church. The world is waiting for the church to be the church. There's a quote by an author named Brennan Manning. He said, "The single cause of atheism today is when Christians go out and deny their faith and their lifestyle. That's what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelieving." We are the only organization on the planet, this is cool, that specializes in the business of heaven, that specializes in giving second chances, that specializes in helping people go from brokenness into beautiful and having purpose. It's a beautiful thing. I want to be part of that. So how do we do it? How do we do that? So we gather to grow. This is on posters everywhere at every single building at a Bridge City campus. It's everywhere. It's part of it. And so it's built into the way we do things. We gather to grow, we give, and we go to make disciples all for the glory of God. That's how we do that. That's what we do, what we do. We're going to do those things. We call those the G's. You see the G's in there? That's a different meaning in the streets. I get that. That's different. But we really want to be about these G's here at Bridge City Church, right? And so we're gathered into the family of God. We're gathered into the family of God. One of the greatest things, the most appealing thing to me as a kid from a broken family was the family aspect of being a Christian. I get to be part of a family, and this is a pretty cool family. And we're gathered into the family of God. So that it becomes this starting line for us. It becomes this way that when we approach our faith, that we get to hear the word of God. We understand what it means to be a follower. We have people help us. When we're going through trouble, we have people that can, disciple us to move forward. Ephesians 2:19 says this, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people." You ever feel like a foreigner or stranger, like you just don't belong? I felt that way many times. But when I'm at God's people, God's church, I belong to the family. You are members of God's family. You are members of God's family. How does that sit with you this morning to understand that thought? How does that change your perspective of the church, that you are members of God's family, part of the church? I hope that encourages you, that you're part of the church. Members of the family. The birth of the church starts with people all together in one place, then ends with 3,000 more being added that day in Acts chapter 2, right? And so I love that. They came together. That's the birth of the church. They came together, and then it started growing. So what does this say? Like the church, we need to gather. We need to come together. We need to commit to one another. We need to invite people. We need to invite people here to the church. That's one of the roles that we can do. We're growing. How about this? We're growing in our full potential. We're growing. It's going to get messy, but it requires a choice. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this, verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And so that's the function of what the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to equip one another to do the work of the church. What is the work? The work is this goal. The work is to build one another up, to prepare each other, to grow into these fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We're called to do that. I'm called to do that, but you're also called to do that. To do the work, to accomplish this, to minister to people. We don't like the word volunteers. I used to say, when I started here, Bridget often corrects me still, almost 3 years in, we'll say the word like, we need volunteers for this, and like, we don't say volunteers. Well, what we mean by that is this, we have servanteers. We're of people that say, I get to do this. I get to be on the worship team. I get to be an usher. I get to be at the connection point. I'm gonna serve with a selflessness, a passion, because it's an act of worship. Volunteers kind of go through the motions and what they do. I know it's a little nuanced, but it's just something to think about. It changed my perspective when I got here. And so volunteers, the work, but it's more of a servant's heart, servant leaders based on what Jesus did. That's what the church. How do we grow up? How do we grow up as the church? What do we do? What are the things that we can do? Well, here's one thing. We need to stop being selfish. Stop being selfish. Stop being self-centered and become Christ-centered. Look to Jesus. Think about how you can serve Jesus, not how you can consume Christian material and content, but how you can serve Jesus. How can you be part of the church and serve? Maturity requires us to move forward in our faith, and that requires for us to be selfless. And that's hard for some of us. That's hard. That's a thing that's in our hearts. It's hard for us to give that up. But we need to learn to give ourselves. We need to learn to give ourselves of our time, talent, and treasure. We're going to have a giving opportunity. But what that means is also giving of your finances. It's giving of your time. Those are important things for us. But when we do this generously and sacrificially, that's what the church does. That's the mark of a healthy church. That's what we do. We give. So there's this generous that's in our hearts, this joy that's in our hearts. We're not giving with this kind of like curmudgeon spirit. That's what we're called to do. We're called to give so that we may become more Christ-centered. How about this? We're growing together in messiness, and it's a choice. Here again, in Acts chapter 2, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So one of the strengths here at the Brighton Heights campus is that at 8 a.m., there's a prayer team praying for you all, and praying for the Holy Spirit to move, praying for the worship team and the words that come out of my mouth, right? They're praying, they're lifting us up in prayer. And so I love that there's this growing up together, there's this devotion through these different things. Personal devotion. They devoted themselves to reading God's word and the apostles' teaching. I'm going to ask this question. Are you a student of God's word? Does your Bible have dust on it where you can just write, read me on it? Is your app time usage say zero? Like, that's what we're called to do. We're called to devote ourselves to studying God's word. When we study God's word, we get to know who God is, in their turn, understand who we are. And we're able to bless others. And so we need to be devoted to reading God's word, to being lifelong students. Anselm was one of my heroes of the faith. He said, I have a faith that seeks understanding. And he committed his life to being a lifelong student of God's word. I kind of adopted that. I don't do it to puff myself up because I realize how much I don't know. But I encourage you to have a faith that seeks understanding, to devote yourself to God's word. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and reveal, right? It's not about information, it's about revelation. And so that's an important part of it too. How about this? We do groups. We do connection groups. We devote ourselves to 10 to 12 weeks every fall and every spring semester. We have activity groups coming up. But we do these groups because we want to be consistently sharpening each other, reading God's word, having accountability. Every now and again, we play games and have some fun. It's a good time. But we're getting together. It's a choice that we're getting together and doing life. Amen? Are you getting together with other Christians? We experience family in groups, and I love that. Today, Bridge City 101 is happening. And Chris and Wayne, Chris, could you raise your hand for me? They are our great leaders, doing an amazing job, have been for years. They're hosting our Bridge City 101. And it's a way for us to understand what it means to be an active and growing member of Bridge City Church, particularly at the Brighton Heights level. There's food sometimes, most always, you know. But they tell you what it means to actually be part and what the church believes and what we're about. And they try to answer all your questions, and they create room and space for you to grow, right, to be active. Active means this: meeting together, not giving up, not making excuses, not being selfish, but being active in the way you come together to meet with one another, to worship, but also in worship to God. And then you're growing. Bridge City 101 is about, it's growing. We want you to grow. Healthy things grow. Healthy things grow, and they look like Jesus. And so if you can grow, this is one of the ways we have for you to move forward, to be an active and growing member. We want you to be part of this church, but we want you to be active. We want you to grow, to look more like Jesus and less like yourself. Acts chapter 2, 43 through 47, I'm almost done here, says this. Acts chapter 2. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miracles and signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, sharing everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. And they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. I'm going to say that again. With great joy and generosity. You hear the attitude of the heart? Verse 47. All the while, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So they I love that. They moved to growth. They move to being active and growing. Don't you want that for this church? Don't you want that for this community? Don't you want that for God's kingdom? And we need to honor the King Jesus, who we celebrate this morning, by living our lives in such a way that we're going to be committed to one another because of what Jesus did on the cross and how he defeated the tomb and the grave, right? That's why we do what we do. That's why we come together. And so there's this joyfulness. There's this sacrifice. There's this faithfulness. It's dealing with preconceived notions and letting that go. Well, I was always taught this way and this. We need to let that go. It's going to stunt your growth. Well, I understand, but here's the thing. God is on the move. God is doing a new thing, and he wants you to be part of it. I want to encourage you that you can do this, that there's a unity, that... How about this? Giving. Giving is so uncomfortable. Giving straps us. It tests us. It pushes us to, like, I don't know where my next blank is going to come from, or how I'm going to pay this blank bill or whatever it is. That wasn't swearing, by the way. That was just. But giving like tests our faith, and it stretches us, and it breaks us down, and it causes us to rely on God and trust him and who he says he is, that he's going to show up. And it stretches us. And so we're supposed to do that even when it's uncomfortable, when it's messy and it's hard, difficult, and all those things. That's a tension, but it causes us to grow. And so when we do that, when we give on a regular basis with joy and generosity, there's this thing that happens to us. We begin to grow. Our faith becomes stronger. We begin to see God in different ways happen, that this bill does get paid and there's money that comes in from, like, I can't believe this just happened. Has that ever happened to you? I cannot believe this happened, that this bill was paid for, or whatever it is. But it happens when we step out in faith and move forward as the church. We need all of you. We are stronger together than we are apart. That's the beauty of the church. Here's the thing, that the unity of the church is one of the most precious things we need to keep. The unity of the church is when we lose ourselves. Unity is when we lose ourselves for the greater good. I think about it this, we were talking as a staff this week, that I think the illustration for this for me is Melanie makes this thing called a tomato basil bisque soup. That sounds good, right? little grilled cheese with that. Come on, you try that. And so what I love about Mel's tomato basil bisque is that it's so good. I can't even put into words how good it is. It's just, I would wrestle my mom or my brother, Mike Tyson. I don't know. It's so good. But here's the thing. In that soup, there's all these different ingredients. There's the tomato and the heavy cream and the salt and the pepper, the onions, the basil, all this other stuff. Each one of them loses themselves for the greater good of the soup to create this masterpiece, right? And so, listen, what would the church look like if we lost ourselves for the greater good of the gospel? Imagine the impact we could have right here on the north side, or in your families, or your home, like your coworkers, or whatever it might be. But it takes that perspective shift, have a fresh start, and say, I can be part of something bigger than myself. It's a choice. What's your choice this morning? Are you choosing to be part of the church, or are you choosing your selfishness, your consumerism, your ways, your pride? I've always done it this way. This is the way. Okay. God has a plan. His plan is for us to go out into the world. It's called the Great Commission, Matthew 28. He wants us to go out into the world to share our lives. I'm not asking you to grab a bullhorn or a sandwich board. I'm asking you to let your lives speak, to use the Bible, to let the Holy Spirit move and guide you in his ways. Acts 2:47 says this. They worshiped together at the temple. Each day met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared the meals with great joy and generosity. My hope and prayer is that Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights, would give in such a way that when people come up against us, they can feel joy. They can sense generosity. They can sense that the Holy Spirit is here. Amen. What's your choice this morning? I invite you to stand. What's your choice? Will you be the church? Will you choose Christ or will you choose yourself? Will you choose to be a fully devoted follower or will you choose to be a consumer? Because I can tell you this, there's a lot of consumers out there, but Christ wants us to follow him into the world. We're called to be engaged with God's plan, being together in the messiness, in the relationships together that we have, not picking up offenses, but choosing Christ and moving forward together. That's what we're called to do as his church. So I invite you to pray with me this morning. My hope and prayer is that this, is that if you have an offense or something you're dealing with, the church hurt, I want to pray with you. Don't raise your hand. I'm just going to pray right now. And I have to recognize, I know there's people that have church hurt. So I just want to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, I pray for those this morning that have church hurts, that have been hurt by the church or someone in the past, that causes them to stumble and causes them to remain stuck. I pray for your Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon them right now in Jesus' name, to provide healing and wholeness, to give them a fresh perspective of what it means to be the church, that we need them. We need that individual here this morning. We're stronger together. And so, Father, would you heal that hurt? Would you bring them forward in that hurt? Would you bring them forward in maturity? Would you allow them to be willing to be hurt again so they can move forward? So, Father, I pray for that right now in Jesus' name. I pray that they would not lose hope, but find hope in you. I pray that they would understand what it means to be the church. It is a choice. That they would not give up meeting together. That they would be all in. They would give all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. But, Lord, I pray for that hurt. With your nail-scarred hands, would you touch that hurt and bring about healing and wholeness on their life right now? So, Father, we as a church, we just confess that we don't always have it together. We drop the ball. Father, forgive me for dropping the ball. Would you bring about healing and wholeness? Lord, help us as a church to choose you. Help us to choose to be fully devoted followers of Christ and not consumers of Christian content. Lord, convict us when that happens. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon Brighton Heights. Lord, that we would move forward in generosity and unity and joyfulness, Lord. I just pray that right now. And I pray for those that maybe you're here, heads bowed and eyes closed. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. That you might not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That you wouldn't be a member of his family. If that's you, you'd like to accept Jesus as the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future, you'd like to say a prayer with me right now and do that. Just raise your hand. If that's you, just raise your hand real high. Be bold. So Heavenly Father, I just pray right now. I pray for that. I pray for those that are walking with you. I pray that they would make the choice to be the church, to be the best servant here, the best whatever it is, all because of you, because of your glory. Lord, we want to be a people that honor you with all that we are. Lord, we just want to move forward with you and walk in step with your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Pastor Brandon. Give Pastor Brandon a hand.